Okay, good morning, everyone. So I'm Rebecca Lee, and before I begin, I want to thank my colleagues, Rebecca Mozafarian and Steve Gortmaker, who contributed to the curriculum development and the measurement development I'll go over today, and Jeffrey Gortmaker and Jake Bouchard, who are the technical geniuses behind all of this. So, okay, and I have no disclosures. So just to get started, those of us in the nutrition and physical activity field know that children are not meeting our nutrition and physical activity guidelines, and there are substantial racial and ethnic and socioeconomic disparities that exist. And we at the PRC really see creating changes in environments where children spend the most of their time, like schools and after-school programs, as a great place to start in terms of narrowing these disparities. And we also see education as a key activity in multi-component interventions aiming at behavior change. So in our experiences, we've seen that a lot of the health curricula out there are restricted to very large, difficult to manage manuals. They're these big, thick things that people have to carry around. And when we're talking about measurement, trying to assess the impact of our programs, measurement has a very large time and cost burden. And a lot of the surveillance and assessment tools that are out there actually aren't very well validated. People are making up their own questions. And so these are two issues that we really wanted to address. We also have done a lot of work with these after-school practitioners who are delivering great nutrition and physical activity interventions in after-school programs, but they have very limited resources, so they often don't have their own office with a desk. They're moving from space to space. They have very little equipment. So these are all kind of all the challenges that we're trying to get at here with this new website and mobile app. So foodandfun.org, I just want to invite everyone to break a norm right now. And if you have an iPhone or some kind of smartphone and you want to follow along and go to foodandfun.org, you can because it's up and running. You don't have to. But I can only show you little screenshots and you can kind of navigate through. So if you want to, you can. But Food and Fun after school program curriculum has been around since 2006. We developed it with the YMCA of the USA. And last summer, we decided we wanted to develop a web-based version with a mobile app that goes along with it. So you bring up foodandfun.org on your smartphone, and there's a little button, and you say, yes, I want the mobile version. And so everything you get on the web, you also get on your phone in a much simpler way, and I'll walk you through it. But the curriculum is designed to incorporate lessons and activities about nutrition and physical activity into our existing programs that things like the Y or Boys and Girls Club are running. And we've seen evidence for increased child physical activity levels when we use this curriculum in conjunction with trainings on changing program practices. So we see it as a curriculum that is very promising for dissemination. So here's a look at what it looks like if you go to foodandfun.org on your computer. And I'm going to take you through very quickly just to give you a sense, the look and feel of what you'd see. So this is what you'd see on your computer, but then this is what you would see on your smartphone. And so it's much simpler. It's very streamlined. It's not fancy at all, but it helps people just get to the most important content of what we have available out there. So there are two major sections of foodandfun.org in the web app. There's the Learn section and then there's the Change section. In the Learn section, there's an area for parents and for staff members. And in the staff section, you'll find over 70 activities and a bunch of thematic units that get at fruits and vegetables, whole grains, water, physical activity, and also limiting trans fat, sugary drinks, screen time. We see these as the most evidence-based targets, and so there's a unit, at least one unit, that goes with each of these. In addition to teaching kids in kind of the traditional nutrition type of and physical activity curriculum that you'd think about, where kids might be sitting around and learning new content, a lot of our activities are really creative. They're active games where kids are learning the content. They develop literacy and math skills in a really fun way. And we even have like hands-on snack activities and taste tests and things like that. So it's a fun curriculum. I really like it. And each unit has a very specific behavioral goal for the kids, like eat a fruit or vegetable 5 times a day, plus messages specifically for those after-school staff so they know why they're promoting this specific target and how to talk to kids and parents about it. So here's an example of a fruit and vegetable relay game that you would see on our website. You'd see an objective, you'd see the materials that you need to get together before you did the activity, some really basic instructions, they're always really short and sweet, and then some ideas to kind of change it up. If your kids love this one but you've done it 5 times, there's some extension activities to change things up. And then you'll see on your web app, you can see a very simple version of this. So it's not as beautiful, but we really see this as our experiences. A lot of times the staff are maybe a half an hour before the program begins, it's raining outside, they were going to just go out on the playground, but now what are they going to do with the kids to make sure they're physically active? They can bring up foodandfun.org on their phone and, oh, yeah, that's what I need. Or they're at the grocery store and they're going to do a cooking activity and all the ingredients are right there and they can get it. So this is why we kind of went for the app for the after-school crowd. Then transitioning to the change section, again, we have a section for parents and for staff. We have two assessment tools. One is this very quick 2-minute assessment to give you a sense of whether you're reaching the goals that we've kind of set out as targets. And then we also have this program observation tool, which will be something I go into a little bit more detail with whatever time I have at the end. That's basically a daily observation of what the program is doing and not just your gut instinct of what you offer. We also have a Snack Sense menu planning tool. We see that a lot of after-school programs don't know how to serve healthy food on a budget, so Snack Sense is kind of a pun. We have little fun icons that go along with it, and we try to suggest healthy snacks that are reimbursable at 74 cents. If you work in the after-school area, that number means something to you, but that are healthy and the kids like. And then we also have tip sheets and quick maps, which are these fun, colorful sheets that you'd see that get at each of our targets and give you really practical strategies for change. So this is what a program observation would look like on our website if you went and filled things out on our website. And then if you were at your program and you wanted to do the self-assessment, you could pull out your smartphone and answer all the same yes-no questions as you would on the web, but you'd probably be able to do them quicker and more accurately because you're at the program and you got your phone. And once you fill out all the questions, which really only take about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes to do, you'll get a results page that tells you whether you're reaching the healthy goals or not. And then they will bring you to the tip sheets that correspond with each of the healthy goals that give you strategies for change. So it's kind of this comprehensive, fill out these questions, get your results, and get some ideas, and that's all on your smartphone. So to give you some numbers here, we have not done any kind of hard launch with crazy publicity or anything, but we have had it up and live for about a year, and we've seen the website has gotten about 5,000 unique hits from 112 countries, which I thought was pretty cool, and we're just using Google Analytics to figure out these basic ideas. But I will say that our highest traffic were in the months where we put out papers that had links to Food and Fun in March and September, so that was neat. So I think that people are reading our academic papers and going to our very fun website, so I like to see that. And we've seen about 500 people visit via mobile device. So we still have room to disseminate further, but this is a whole lot more than we could do with our really big binder or double CD dissemination strategy that we had before. So with the time I have left, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit more about this validated measure we have on a smartphone, because I think that that's one of the most unique pieces of this project. A lot of the assessment tools that are out there, like I said, aren't necessarily rigorously evaluated for their accuracy, and we have this observation tool that it has been validated. So the validation study took place in the spring of 2011, and it was part of our out-of-school time nutrition and physical activity initiative in Boston. It's a randomized controlled trial, and so we used the programs that were in that to validate our assessment. These were 20 site directors that completed the assessment on 5 days, and just basically some characteristics about the programs. They were sponsored by a variety of types of programs like YMCAs and Boys and Girls Clubs. They were relatively large programs, and they served a very high number of low-income students. In terms of the site directors who were actually filling out the assessment, we saw a very large range of experience and ages. Some were brand new, and some had been there. They were longtime veterans, and actually the 3.5 years from my experience is quite good. Turnover of site directors and after-school programs is really, really high. So this might be a little bit more experienced, but then again, somebody was there for a month and they did it for us. So some were full-time, some were part-time. Again, this is not a very stable career for these folks, and most of the people filling it out were women, and it was a pretty highly educated group and quite racially diverse. And then in terms of the kids who go to these programs, they're elementary school programs, so they're quite young, and again, very racially diverse sample that we're dealing with here. So in terms of the criterion measures that we measured the validity against, we were looking at direct observations within the program. So we had trained research assistants who went out and saw what the kids were eating each day, what they were doing for physical activity, and we actually used accelerometry for a couple of the items as well. And then the program self-assessment tool, this was tested when it was in paper and pencil form, so it's not a test of the web version or the app version, but I don't see that the validity would really be very different. Before we fielded it, we pilot tested the questions and the instructions to make sure they were really clear to similar site directors in the area. And like I said, it really only took about 5 to 10 minutes to complete each day. So it isn't a very high cost or time burden like we see in a lot of other assessment tools. When we did the analysis, our unit of analysis were weekly averages of what the program was offering, and we used Pearson correlations to assess to look at the difference between the criterion measures and the self-assessment tool. And I'll show you this for 1 versus 5 days. So what I mean is looking at the self-assessment, Monday through Friday, how well does that correlate to a weekly average by these expert observers versus what does one day, a typical day, look like and how well does that correlate? Because that matters in terms of how often do we want these site directors to be assessing, what kind of, again, time burden we have here for this assessment tool. So I'm pleased to say that we had a great response rate. So we got 97 of the 100 program days that we were out there, we got data for, so this means that it's kind of acceptable to people, they're doing it. And we really found very strong validity across a number of items. And even the one day worked quite well for a number of the domains. It's also important to note that there was no impact of the intervention participation on this. So I actually did the validity study at follow-up, and so I was worried that because half of these programs had been in this full-year intervention and got all this education and technical assistance around nutrition and physical activity, that they'd be better at filling out this self-assessment tool than folks that didn't have all that guidance, and it made no difference. So I was happy about that. So this is the dense data that I'll leave up for you to kind of look through. But seeing correlations of, you know, above 0.7 is really excellent, actually, and even 0.5, 0.6 is quite good. And so we're seeing that site directors are very good at assessing things like fruits and vegetables offered, water both served and the consumption of water, the foods and beverages that people are bringing in from outside the program, which we see as a really big problem, and the physical activity participation was quite high. We didn't see the item around physical activity time offered, I think was not that well written, so we're doing another little mini validation study to see if we can come up with a better item there. And then screen time variables were looking good too. So really strong validity here. And in conclusion, I really think that the foodandfun.org web and mobile resources are a great step for after-school staff. They have a very user-friendly platform, and the self-assessment measure is an accurate assessment of the program environment that can be accessed quickly and easily. I just want to give a very quick kind of alert. We got hooked on apps, so this summer we developed a new one that we haven't launched yet that we're calling Lockwork right now. But it builds on RPI, Steve Gortmaker's focus on screen time and its link to obesity, and it's actually a parent control device that limits the amount of time that your kid can be surfing the internet, texting, doing anything except calling maybe you. And so we're really seeing that we want to kind of use technology to look at the negative effects of technology on kids and kind of flip that on its head. So that's on its way out there. So there you go. Any questions? Okay. Yeah?
I saw you had like one line there about assessing snacks outside of the after-school program.
Mm-hmm. So we have other studies, other research on the changes due to the randomized controlled trial. Is that what you're talking about, behavior change? I can tell you that I'm working on the dietary change paper in terms of kids' improvements in what they're eating during an after-school program, and we're seeing that our intervention worked pretty well for improving water consumption, fruit and vegetable consumption in certain types of schools. I can talk to you about that later. And sugar-sweetened beverages went down and calories went down a bit. So we did see a good dietary change, and somebody else was working on the physical activity side, so I can't answer that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not in this study. I will say that we did see a reduction. There was a policy change. In some of the programs, they decided to change policies on the outside snacks brought in from home, and we saw that was pretty effective in a lot of the things, but at the schools. But we did not do a assessment of dietary change or physical activity change among the other family members. We're really interested in kind of that type of thing being a next step for us, working with families, because we agree that it's a good start to start in these organizations, but changing the family environment's really important too. I think there's another one over there. Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, I would love to. I think this was our first step to see what the interest was here, and I'm really interested in dissemination studies and things like that, so I see it as a hopeful future step, yeah. Did you have a question, too?
Sorry. How much work did you do to kind of look at feasibility or user-friendliness of getting people's parents and staff sense of specifically of the app?
We worked with the staff but not the parents in terms of feasibility, acceptability, and it mostly in the formative stages. So we asked them a lot of questions about whether they would use it and in what instances would they use it. And I think most of them had the sense that they would use it for the looking up the curriculum on the spot type thing. And they weren't thinking so much about the assessment tool. But we're hoping that we can kind of hook them on that piece. So I think we did do some formative. I did a lot of interviews actually at the end of our intervention. So as part of that exit interview type thing, I talked to them a lot about would you use this app? In what circumstances would you use it? That type of thing. But it really varies. Not surprisingly, the young kind of folks would use it more, but more and more people who are younger, you know, running these programs. So and so I guess that's my answer. Yeah. One more.
I have a question and comment. The question is, if you see applicability of this to adult population, have you thought about modifying it in a way that adults could use it?
That's your first question? Yeah. I think there certainly is. I work mostly with children, but I think that we saw a lot of the staff members who are adults really get excited about this app and the parent section of it, like that is more for their behavior change. And I think it's hard because when you're thinking about adults, you're thinking more about individual behavior change, and this way that this is all kind of laid out is about program change and family change, maybe, like how to change your household. And so I think that the household section is really where it could build in terms of adult populations. We have like the same type of observation tool for, you know, do you have fruits and vegetables in your cupboards and do you have this? So that's kind of where I see it as a parallel would be like a household assessment and what kind of foods are you buying at the grocery store for your family. Does that work? Okay. Great. Well, thanks. And I have like no app prowess, so I'm glad that it came across that I did. So thank you.